Welcome to the Enlightening Motherhood Community. Here you will find a non-judgmental community offering support to mothers raising children with extra challenges. This community was created for you to empower moms who love their children deeply, but are also overburdened, overwhelmed, or just plain stressed out. We are the place for moms who sometimes find themselves feeling at the end of their rope and are looking for hope and light. Join us as we help you enlighten motherhood.
Hey everyone, this is Ashley. Welcome to the podcast. I hope you are all doing well and learning in those difficult times and in the good times, and I'm happy to have you here. So today I want to talk about how to prepare for a 504 meeting. I remember when I went to my first 504 meeting for my first child who needed one. And I felt a bit intimidated because I wanted to go in prepared and I wanted to advocate for my son. But I had heard from other people that you really have to fight hard sometimes and that it can be difficult. So I looked up different ways I could be prepared. I created this little packet and I made a copy for each participant in the meeting and handed them out because I just wanted to be really thorough. You might not need to go to the extreme of having a packet, but I do want to share some ideas with you on how to be a little more prepared and make it the best experience that it can be. I have 7 different ideas for ways you can prepare for a 504 meeting, but first let's go over what a 504 is. 504 plans are formal plans that schools develop along with parents or caregivers to give kids with disabilities some extra support. They do this through accommodations. These plans prevent discrimination and they protect the rights of kids with disabilities in a school environment. Basically, they are there to support the child's learning so that they don't fall behind. It's covered under the Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act, which is a civil rights law. And these are different than IEPs. You may have heard of an IEP also, which is an individualized education plan. And that is for kids who are going to be receiving special education services. So a 504 is something that helps your child when they are in a regular classroom, not in a special ed classroom. So let's go through these 7 things that can help when you're preparing to attend this meeting. So 1, you want to make a list of the areas where your child struggles that affects his learning. Let's go through some examples. Maybe he speaks out of turn in class. His grades are struggling because of incomplete homework. He doesn't participate. He dozes off while taking notes or turns in work with mistakes very frequently. Maybe he's disruptive in the classroom. Maybe your daughter isn't attentive in class or fidgety in class or has trouble staying in her seat. Perhaps your son forgets to bring homework or assignments or books home and forgets to return papers to school, or maybe forgets to put his name on his papers. Maybe he has trouble with due dates and deadlines. Maybe some of these things have to do with anxiety and test taking, or even anxiety about going to school and being in a classroom setting. There could be lots of things that your child might struggle with that a 504 could help assist them with. So once you write down all of the things you are aware of that your child struggles with that affect their learning, then the second thing to do is you want to think about things that could help your child in each of those situations. So you're going to write down some notes under each of those things. Let's go through some examples. If your child is struggling with impulsivity and self-control, maybe they speak out of turn at school, they might have ADHD and they really struggle with this kind of thing, even if it's not diagnosed and they're often talking in class, then one idea that could be an accommodation is to put that child near the front and the center of the room, near the teacher, and away from distractions. I've had that request for one of my children before, and it was helpful. Another is to ask the teacher that it be written in the plan that the teacher pull aside the child in a private setting at a discreet time rather than calling the child out in front of the class, because that would be shaming and it would be embarrassing to the child. Although it seems like common sense, it is not always to some people. So having it in the plan adds that protection for your child. You could also have the child sit next to a well-behaved role model. Maybe even for younger students, like a five-year-old, you could have the teacher mark an area with tape around the desk where they can move freely in that space, but so they're not interfering with students and getting into other people's personal space if they are impulsive in that way. Another example, if your child's grades are suffering due to unfinished work or not completing their work in time, you can ask in the 504 that your child be allowed extra time to complete assigned work. You can ask the teacher to break long assignments into smaller segments, each with a deadline. Or maybe setting a timer for 10-minute intervals. Then the teacher or the student shows the teacher their work, and then they can work for 10 more minutes. If your child has difficulty focusing in the classroom or is turning in work with lots of mistakes, they could have the teacher ask questions to encourage participation. The teacher could maybe cue the child to stay on task with a private signal, like a gentle tap on the shoulder. I've had that request with a couple of my children before. It just seems like with physical touch, it helps them stay focused and on task. And if that's planned out ahead of time and you're collaborating with the child on that, then the teacher will know what to expect and it will just be a gentle reminder to stay on task. Maybe scheduling a 5-minute period for the child to check over work before turning in assignments so that they're not just impulsively turning in assignments really quickly without checking them. They just might need that reminder to thoughtfully go over their work. If your child is disrupting other students' learning, you could ask the teacher to ignore minor inappropriate behavior. So it's not this huge deal and they're calling out your child every time there's any little thing. You could ask the teacher to approve a certain fidget toy that might help your child. For example, there's Velcro that you could put under the desk so they can play with that. That might help them when they start to feel dysregulated. You could have the teacher designate with the child ahead of time a calm down area where the child can go when they are feeling upset. You could even have your child come up with a code word that the teacher is aware of. And then when your child says that code word, the teacher knows that they need to go to the calm down area and have some time alone. One accommodation that we had for one of my kids, he had a difficult time focusing on reading while he was reading it in his head. Unless he was reading out loud, it was difficult for him to retain the information, and it was really affecting his test taking. So we requested that he be allowed to read the questions on the test out loud to himself in a quiet way. This required him to sit a ways away from his classmates so he wouldn't be disruptive, but it helped him immensely with test taking. Okay, so far we've talked about being prepared by writing down things that your child struggles with that affects their learning, and also writing down some ideas for how to help them with some accommodations. The third thing you will want to do is bring any documentation of any diagnoses your child has. If they are diagnosed with ADHD, you will want to prepare ahead of time to contact their doctor to receive copies of that documentation if you do not have them. That can take some time to get the documentation. You might need to go and pick it up or have them email it to you. So you will want to plan ahead so you can have that for the meeting. Maybe your child has a diagnosis of anxiety or Tourette's or OCD or whatever it is, you'll want to bring that documentation with you. They will ask for it and it will be helpful to have it with you. Number four, you want to help the 504 team get to know your child. You want to share during the meeting about your child's personality, their interests, their strengths, their struggles, how they manage their homework, their study habits, any of these kind of things, so you can paint a picture of your child and their strengths and weaknesses, the things they struggle with. You might want to tell the team about any activities outside of school. That gives them insight into your child's abilities and their interests and helps them tailor the plan to your child as an individual. I heard on a podcast once about a mom who brought a picture of her child to the 504 meeting just so the team could remember and realize this is a child we're talking about and these things we're talking about are for him, for his benefit. Obviously, his teacher knows him, the child, but there might be staff members there who don't know the child, like maybe the vice principal is there and has seen the child but doesn't really know them well, or the school psychologist. Number five, you want to make sure the plan is complete and specific. The rules for writing a 504 plan aren't detailed, like it has to exactly be this way. So schools do have flexibility on what they can do. To get the best plan possible, you want to ask the team to describe in detail what staff members will do to accommodate your child. For example, a teacher or a school staff member needs to be responsible for every service and accommodation listed in the plan, because we as parents aren't there at the school, right? So it's not our responsibility while the child is at school to be assigned to do these things. There might be things that you're assigned to do as a parent at home that can make things easier. Maybe accommodations around homework that you might be aware of. In all of the 504 meetings I've been in, the staff members have been really good about being specific with the plan and making sure it is complete. So I haven't had to worry about monitoring that as much. But if they are not being specific, you can ask them to be more specific so that the plan is what you want it to be. You will be given a copy of it to read and you will be able to sign it. These meetings really are about collaboration and coming up with a plan together. You could go back to Dr. Ross Green's Plan B model that we've talked about before on this podcast. If you've listened to those episodes that Emily and I shared in the past about the explosive child, you know that collaborating with your child, or in this case with the staff members, is really about sharing your concerns, asking them to share their concerns, and then coming up with solutions together. In the meetings I've been in, it has been this way for the most part. Most of the people I have encountered are looking out for the best interest of the child. I did have a situation with one of my kids where the staff members weren't seeing a lot of stuff happening at school because he held it together really well at school, but then he would come home and explode or melt down, and he was just so stressed about holding everything together and he just wanted to let it all out. He's a perfectionist and he wanted to do the best he could, but we were seeing that perfectionism at home. And I've mentioned this before in other episodes, but this is the child who would make a mistake on his homework and then rip it up and have extreme behaviors over that because he didn't feel like he could erase it. They were not seeing the stress of this. At school, they were not seeing how stressed he was about homework and how much it was affecting him at home and how much he worried about going to school and turning in his homework and getting it turned in time and how it was actually increasing his anxiety. So in that situation, I really felt like I had to advocate. When they were saying, well, we don't see any issues. He doesn't have any problems with homework. It gets turned in. There's not any problems in the classroom. And I had to say, no. This is what's really going on. We're seeing this at home. It would really benefit him to have extra time for homework so he doesn't feel the pressure to turn in his homework the next day. But he can have until the end of the week to do it. So there's a little bit more flexibility there. At one point, it was one of those bingo type homework sheets that they had to fill in or color one of the squares when they finished their homework, but they got to choose which squares that they were. And so instead of doing all of them, he could have fewer of them to choose, like maybe only one line straight across or something like that. So he was still doing the homework, but it was more tailored to him. This worked better, so it didn't stress him out as much. Also, a note about homework. You also can just say, my child is not going to do homework. I'm just not going to have my child do homework. It is too stressful in our home. And what is that going to look like? How will that reflect on him? And maybe it will just mean he'll get a bad grade in the homework category. And, you know, when a child is in second grade or kindergarten, it might be better to have a D in homework than go through the stress that they have to go through and have this negative experience about school because of the repercussions that the homework is having on the child. So that is an option too to consider. Number 6, you could invite a close friend to come and attend the meeting with you, or have your spouse come, or your spouse who's there, have them jot down a few notes for you so that you can focus on the meeting and share what you have prepared to share. Also, it is legal to actually record the meeting if you record it with audio only. You can let the participants know that you'll be recording the meeting, and it shouldn't be a problem because it is legal. It could be beneficial just so you can go back and listen and make sure you said everything you wanted to say and didn't miss anything before you sign the document. Usually what they'll do is email you the final document and then you sign it and email it back. So listening to the recording would just give you a chance to make sure you didn't miss anything before you sign that complete document. Number 7, be prepared to advocate for your child. I did just talk about that with my son who was having the homework struggles. You know your child best, so you can be polite but firm in your stance so you can help your child. For example, one thing I did with one of my 5-year-olds who just got a 504 this year, his teacher was saying that with explosive behaviors, she wasn't seeing that in the classroom. However, I had observed it in his classroom quite a bit last year, and I knew that it could definitely happen again this year. And I also know that there's a honeymoon stage at the beginning of the school year, and this 504 meeting happened within the first month of school. So I wanted to put an accommodation in place for in case the explosive behavior happened at school, even though the teacher wasn't seeing it yet. So I really pushed for that and just made it a point that I really wanted that to be in there for when it would happen in the future. So be prepared to just push back a little bit if you need to. And just say, I feel strongly that this needs to be in the plan. I'm requesting that it be in the plan. I know my child. I know he struggles with this. One idea that I really loved, and I forgot to mention it earlier when we were talking about accommodations, but with this child I was just talking about, he really struggles with transitions. So one thing that has helped him a lot this year is an idea that his teacher had, which is really awesome and has helped with transitions. So this child hyper focuses and then doesn't want to move on to the next thing because he maybe isn't as excited about it, which makes sense, right? But he struggles to the point where sometimes it can cause really big emotions. It can cause a big meltdown. So she had mentioned that there's a schedule on the wall, and she points to the schedule and shows the kids, okay, this is what we're doing next. The schedule works great for some kids, but for him, it's just kind of far away. And when he's hyper-focused, he's just not looking up at the schedule and wondering, oh, what's the next thing? He needs it to be right there, right by him. So his teacher had the idea to create this colorful schedule with pictures and words, and she taped it to his desk. When he's engaged in one task, she can give him a 5-minute warning and say, okay, we're on green right now, and you're doing this, and I know you love it, but in 5 minutes, we need to move on to red. And this is what the red task is. So then he has a little heads up, but it's also a visual for him, so he's not caught off guard. Then he's more prepared. I thought that was a fantastic idea, and I wanted to share in case that helps any of your children. So those are my suggestions. If you're preparing to attend a 504 meeting, I know it can feel intimidating when you're going to your first one. So I hope this helps you feel like you know what to expect a little bit more, so you can do the best thing for your child. Also, I want to mention that 504 plans move on with your child throughout their entire schooling. So if you put a plan in place in kindergarten, your child will still have a 504 plan in high school. And this can be great. You can change the plan. You can request a 504 meeting anytime you want to. And you can remove things that aren't applicable anymore. You can add things that are applicable. So that can be a really good thing. I hope you feel more prepared to attend a 504 meeting, and I'm cheering you on. You are an advocate for your child who is not there, although your child can attend if they want to, and a couple of ours have attended when they were around 8 years old or older, but they were kind of bored. One of mine was a little bit interested in it, but having them attend or not is optional, so that's up to you. But you are amazing. You've got this. You can totally do this. I am cheering you on. Have a great day. Just a quick addendum to say, I included in the show notes 2 links that list out possible learning struggles and accommodations that can help. And these are divided by diagnoses. And I think it's a very helpful resource.